Welcome, Council, to the Second Court of Appeals. We only have one case on our 10:30 docket, Swadley versus State, cause number 2-15-085CR. I'm Chief Justice Livingston. To my right is Justice Gardner, and to my left is Justice Walker. And I believe you all have checked in and given the clerk your time, so I do have those. So if you all are ready, we will begin. We have Ashkan Murari for the appellant, if you're ready to begin.
May it please the court. Your Honors, this case represents a relatively simple fact pattern as far as what's relevant. In this case, the officer pulled over the defendant for unconfirmed insurance. There were other issues that came up, but the trial court specifically ruled those out. The only issue we're here on today is the unconfirmed insurance. In short, what happened was the officer, through dispatch, ran through the DPS's system the defendant's license plate, and it came back as unconfirmed insurance, however, had an expiration date of 2 months in the future, which is very unique to this case. From there, he initiated a stop, and we had a typical DWI afterwards. And again, the only issue here is the motion to suppress that was brought up at the trial. The trial court narrowed it down to two issues: is this enough for reasonable suspicion, and is the system reliable? And there were basically two motions to suppress that were brought up. And finally, the court said, I've narrowed it down to, and in relevant part, if it comes back unconfirmed, he can stop. The police can run anyone they want. If it comes back unconfirmed, they can stop someone. Now, we have three separate cases in Texas that say that is simply not sufficient. Unconfirmed insurance, that anything more amounts to, as the court put it in Gonzalez-Guiardo, in our brief, is who knows. And who knows falls short of reasonable suspicion, because it is nothing more, again, than unconfirmed. Now, the state has cited three separate cases that where unconfirmed suspicion stop was held to be sufficient for reasonable suspicion, but those are easily distinguished in that every single one of those cases, there was a prior expiration date. So, for example, the insurance had expired 2 months ago, and it was unconfirmed as to what happened beyond that. In this case, we have an expiration date in the future and unconfirmed insurance.
How can it be unconfirmed if it has an expiration date in the future?
Your Honor, that's a very good question, and we're not sure. This is the Texas system. And DPS, which I would get to in my the reliability portion of it, but DPS's own position is that this is not enough to initiate a stop on its own. Someone should be pulled over some other reason, and then they can be cited for this. But this in and of itself is not enough. They put probable cause, but I think they probably meant reasonable suspicion, because we know under Terry v. Ohio, we only need reasonable suspicion to initiate a traffic stop. And that was entered into as, I think it was Defense Exhibit 2 in the trial court. Going back to why this is not sufficient to be reasonable suspicion, the courts have gone through in each one of the cases. There's Gonzalez-Guiardo, I believe, State v. Daniel, and Contreras. And each one of those stated that in and of itself, just having unconfirmed insurance isn't enough. Now, we go a step beyond this, and we have not only who knows, but we have who knows plus an additional step that shows this person at least had insurance going to 2 months from now. So this in and of itself, it's simply not enough to be reasonable suspicion. And what it does is it creates a burden-shifting issue. It becomes a citizen's duty to prove that they're not doing anything illegal, as opposed to the other way around, where the state or the officer has to have some affirmative evidence that there is evidence of wrongdoing, that there's something going on. That's set forward a long history of cases, starting from Terry v. Ohio. Again, we would reiterate that just a simple lack of evidence doesn't create probable cause. Now, going to the reliability issue of the system, Justice Walker, as you said, it's simply not reliable system. It doesn't even make sense to a certain degree that you have it in the future. Now, the officer in this case testified that typically, if he has unconfirmed insurance and an expiration date in the future, that it could mean they changed policies to a different provider and it hasn't been updated, or it could also mean a number of other things. It could also mean that the insurance was canceled for some reason, but nothing more. So in other words, if someone changes their policy, gets a new policy, changes cars, whatever, it would have an expiration date in the future. But again, we don't, that can't be in of itself, as we don't know, but we do know he did have insurance at some point, is even less than we don't know. And the words typically, we don't believe that's nearly enough for reliability. Now, the way the system works, according to the DPS expert the state provided, is that even for up to 45 days, these insurance companies would report. So there could be a 45-day gap in what actually happens to when DPS gets it. And then DPS, within 7 days, will update their own system. So we have quite a gap there in when someone could be driving with their insurance perfectly fine, and something like this comes up. And it could be anything from buying a new car to changing insurance or renewing insurance or anything in between, which is clearly telling the DPS's own position that this is not good enough to stop someone. And that's why we have those three cases as well.
But wasn't the officer's testimony the only evidence as to what he believed the unconfirmed with a future date actually meant?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, can you...
In other words, he testified that the DPS record showed unconfirmed with a date 60 days into the future, and he did testify as to what that meant. And so didn't the trial court find that as a fact issue by virtue of ruling on the motion to suppress?
Actually, well, in two parts, Your Honor, that's what the officer said he had in his experience, but he did not say that's what it meant, as in the instruction manual would read, if it has something in the future, that means that insurance has been canceled. That was him saying, when I pull people over, typically this is what happens. But he by no way meant said that anyone said that a date in the future is indicative of something being wrong. It could be a number of things.
And you mentioned briefly, too, that this was insufficient to show probable cause to stop. But really, isn't all we need is reasonable suspicion?
Yes, Your Honor, and that was DPS's position. They said probable cause, but they also said and it should not. There should be something else, some other reason to stop someone. This should not be the sole basis. So there's kind of a mix-up with what DPS says there. But as far as the standard is, yes, absolutely. In this case, it would be reasonable suspicion.
And DPS, through this officer, said that?
DPS, through another officer, Officer Putnam, that they brought in to talk about the system specifically, said that. And Officer Putnam also, well, I don't believe she's an officer, I think she just worked for DPS, also say that typically you would call the insurance carrier to verify before going forward. That would be another thing that would happen. And in this instance, I believe it was late at night and the insurance carriers weren't open. But that's something they would normally do. And also to address your previous question, the trial court, when they were making their rulings in the findings, I guess it wasn't an official finding of fact, but explaining their position, didn't talk about any future date or anything like that. They made a blanket per se ruling, basically, that if an officer can run a plate, and if it comes back unconfirmed, then they can stop. It didn't address any other issues about the future dates or past dates or any distinctions there, which is why our brief only addresses what the court found in its findings when it was addressing the parties. So the future date was not the issue. The court, on the basis of if it's unconfirmed, that's enough no matter what. And that simply is not the case and simply not supported by the case law. If there's more, such as it says expired and unconfirmed, or expired in the past and it's unconfirmed that there's new insurance, that has been held as enough, but we're on the other side of that at this point. We would like to analogize to the Russell and Morgan out of was a case out of Collin County, actually, and in that case, a citizen was arrested for a warrant that was not confirmed within a sufficient amount of time, and the court in that case adopted Morgan. I think that was out of Illinois, where they didn't check the system for warrants for 3 days. It was a three-day-old information they relied on, and the court found that relying on that was, at best, gross negligence. And the system that we have for checking warrants is substantially more reliable than the system that DPS in and of itself, relying on third parties to report every 45 days, updating every 7 days, and them saying themselves it's not reliable. When we have a warrant system coming from the sheriff's office, that's a pretty reliable system. And even that, checking it once every 3 days, was not good enough. So now we have a system on the opposite side that even if insurance carriers in real time, not the 45 days, in real time update the system, we still have 7 days that DPS updates their system. So now we're twice, more than twice, the amount that was held 3 days for a warrant system coming from sheriff's office, which we know to be far more reliable than simple the DPS private. You know, we don't even know what the duty is of these insurance carriers to report. If all of them have to report, if some of them have to report, what the frequency is, the reliability of it, and what they report. Do they report canceled, or do they just report that it expired? Do they report that they went to someone else? And there's nothing there for self-insured, for example. We don't know if it applies to commercial insurance or what the situation is in any of these. So if a warrant system in 3 days is gross negligence, then certainly when you're talking about 2 months on a system far less reliable, that cannot be good enough. The witness Putnam stated that she thinks it's reliable, but she's only checked it twice. So she says 2 out of 2 times it worked out for us, and that's how I know it's reliable. That's simply not a valid sample size for us to know what's going on here. I mean, by those standards, we could flip a coin twice, get heads twice, and decide that every time you flip a coin, it'll reliably be heads. I mean, that's simply not a valid spectrum to test on, and not a broad enough breadth of experience. And finally, what we talked about earlier is that the officer Taylor, who made the arrest in this case, says that it typically means this. When he pulls someone over, typically it shows up that they have some kind of insurance problem. But we don't really know what typically is for a reliability standard. We don't even know that the system was working on the day when they ran it. There was no testimony to that to prove that it was reliable. Okay, even if this is considered a reliable system and for some reason, you know, we accept that 2 months is acceptable, we don't even know that the system was working accurately on this day. And as I said, Ms. Putnam stated that they're supposed to call and verify with the insurance carrier before doing anything as well. So we don't even know that this system was accurate when they did the stop and what they went through. So for these reasons, we would argue that the facts here presented do not create reasonable suspicion in and of themselves. And beyond that, the system as presented and as proven up in trial court are not a reliable system that we can base a reasonable suspicion on. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, counsel. All right, Ms. Tomlin.
May it please the court, counsel. This court should affirm the trial court's denial of appellant's motion to suppress because Officer Taylor had reasonable suspicion to stop appellant based on the insurance verification system, and there was testimony that that system was reliable. First, addressing a few...
How can you say that when the DPS itself put out information that the system was not to be used as a basis for a stop?
The DPS materials that were brought into trial were actually written before October 1st, 2008. And if you read them, it talks about October 1st, 2008 in the future. And the system, according to the DPS materials, had just started. So at that time when both of these materials were written, the system hadn't been tested or established amongst police officers. Additionally, DPS does
well,
not...
Has DPS changed their protocol or modified their statement that it's not to be used based on the experience of police officers now?
There's no evidence that they've changed it. But the materials that were brought into court were definitely written before 2008. And as in cases cited by the state, Short, Oliva, Rita, and Taliz, since then, other courts have found the system reliable despite DPS's stance in their material. And on top of that, DPS talks about probable cause. And here we're talking about the lesser burden of reasonable suspicion. Appellant asserts that they mean reasonable suspicion when they say probable cause, but I think that just further illustrates that these two materials do not know the law and are confused by reasonable suspicion and probable cause and not necessarily the authority that we should rely on today.
Okay, so what reasonable suspicion is there? There's reasonable suspicion that they have unconfirmed insurance.
Well,
if it's equally likely that they bought a new car or switched insurance carriers, which happens all the time, to get a lesser rate, I mean, how, if the underlying data can be generated unconfirmed based on a multitude of fact scenarios, how does it support inference or a suspicion or an articulation that they don't have insurance?
The facts here do show that. It's actually in the record in Volume 2, Reporter's Record, at page 101. They specifically ask Officer, and it's Volume 2, page 101. I'll just say it again. They specifically ask the officer about this specific return. He says it's unconfirmed insurance with a future expiration date. And they ask him what that means. And he says that it typically means that someone has either canceled their policy or has stopped paying on their policy and that that policy is no longer in force. And they ask him how he knows this. And he says from his training and experience doing traffic stops and finding out reasons why it shows unconfirmed. And historically, that's what I found. And if you look at Oliva Arita, a case out of the First District of Houston from last year, the officer there also specifically said that unconfirmed insurance typically means a vehicle was uninsured and said that the database was reliable. So other courts in the state have found an officer saying typically in his experience, if this specific return means a specific thing, there is...
Sorry, was that Officer Taylor or Officer Putnam that said that?
Officer Taylor, I'm sorry if I said Putnam. And that actually draws me to one of the fact issues. Ms. Putnam is actually a dispatcher. She is not a peace officer. She's not trained, and she actually testified she's not trained in reasonable suspicion or probable cause. She does not work for DPS. She brought DPS materials because she had been trained with one of the I believe it was Defense Exhibit B, that she was trained with that material that was from prior to October 1st, 2008 from DPS. And based on that, she may have testified that there wasn't probable cause. But she, Ms. Putnam, should not be relied on for the law in this case, and we should look to the case law. And moving to the cases that appellant cited, State v. Daniel, Contreras v. State, and Gonzalez-Galando. In State v. Daniel, there was unconfirmed insurance, and there was a state stipulation that unconfirmed insurance was the only reason for the stop. And the trial court there found that there was no reasonable suspicion with only that evidence. And Contreras and Gonzalez-Galando, which actually was the same stop and it was the driver and passenger of the car, they also found that unavailable and unconfirmed alone is not enough. But Gonzalez-Galando listed out several factors of how you can, how it could be enough. If there was development of the insurance verification database, if there was testimony of what unconfirmed or unavailable meant, if there was testimony of why it was unconfirmed or unavailable, testimony about the accuracy, and testimony about how often the system was updated. And here we have that extra information. We have this explanatory evidence of Officer Taylor saying, this database is reliable, I've relied on it for 5 years, unconfirmed insurance with a expiration date in the future means, in my experience, that the policy has been canceled or the person has stopped paying. And so that's why I stopped this person, because in my experience, that's what it means. And Ms. Putnam also testified about the reliability of the database and that it's updated weekly. Appellant argued about if there's a gap in the insurance, it would just come up unconfirmed. But Ms. Putnam testified, and it's also shown in several in cases that we've both cited on this issue, that it'll be unconfirmed insurance for 45 days. There's a buffer of 45 days, I believe is how Ms. Putnam put it. And so when somebody's, sent in, it sounds antiquated now, but they mailed in a check for their insurance payment and on a Wednesday, and it was due Friday, and it comes in the next Monday, and if the insurance company sent information to DPS on that Friday that the person didn't pay, there's a 45-day buffer period, and that's why it's unconfirmed for 45 days.
But the real problem or the real difficulty that I have is that typically if a police officer is going to stop someone for reasonable, articulable suspicion of committing a crime, there are facts observable to that officer. I mean, there are facts that that officer sees with his eyes, and based on his experience, he deduces that criminal activity is or will be afoot. And clearly, police officers are entitled to rely on observations of other police officers when there's an ongoing situation and other police officers or dispatches relaying information relayed from other police officers. But here we have a police officer relying on something that is in a database supposedly somewhere submitted by civilian insurance companies concerning records that in and of themselves aren't criminal, and DPS itself is saying that they're not to be relied on for a stop. And so isn't there a distinction between something observable by an officer and something in a database somewhere we don't know where?
I guess I have a few-part answer to that question.
Good, good.
Starting with State v. Daniel from San Antonio in 2014, and that's one of the cases appellant cites where they found unconfirmed insurance wasn't enough without more testimony. In that case, they also found that an officer can make inferences when it comes to reasonable suspicion, making
Absolutely.
Inference on the facts from his experience in law enforcement. So I would say here, Officer Taylor has experience using this system, and his experience using that system, he has found that it is reliable. Then I would say that you look at the NCIC system, and in Contreras v. State, cited by the appellant, another case where they found just unconfirmed insurance without more is not reasonable suspicion. They differentiated their facts from Brown v. State, a Dallas 1999 case, and Brown upheld the reliability of the NCIC system. Contreras, in that case, said, well, this insurance verification system cannot be relied on like the NCIC system in Brown v. State, because we have no evidence of the reasonableness of the officer's reliance on the insurance verification system. And I would say in this case, we do have that evidence of the officer of the officer's reliance on the system.
But the issue is the officer's experience, in his experience, the person has been confirmed then not to have insurance, but it doesn't rule out the equally likely position that the person does have insurance but has switched carriers or purchased a new car. And so I think that's the crux of the matter is the officer's experience isn't based on training in observing facts or seeing putting together facts that he observes to come up with an articulable suspicion. It's based on outside data that the times he's used it, it's proved reliable, but is that enough?
The state would argue that yes, it is enough. And in Talese v. State, a case very similar to this one, the only difference really being the expiration date was before, was already expired and not a future one. The officer testified that he found the system very accurate, that he testified of the different things unconfirmed insurance meant, but then said when it's with an expiration date, it means the person no longer has insurance. And there, the court in Beaumont in 2011, it is an unpublished case, which everything pretty much since Contreras and Gonzalez-Galindo has been unpublished. The court found that there was enough with that officer's testimony about reliability and his explanation of the insurance system. The state would also argue that reasonable suspicion does not have to be lead inexorably to an actual traffic offense being committed. I think when an officer stops someone for a DWI, they could find out the person's just tired. When they stop them on an NCIC stolen vehicle report, the car could actually not be stolen. So I don't think the reasonable suspicion doesn't have to be 100%. And here, the state is arguing that based on Officer Taylor's experience with the system, based on Ms. Putnam's experience with the system, and also based on other cases that have found it reliable, that this insurance verification system should be held reliable for these stops when you have the testimony of its reliability, testimony of it is updated weekly, testimony of what this specific return means when you have the expiration date. Going back to Contreras and Gonzalez-Galindo, I think it's important to read that case, and that case opens it up for the insurance verification system to be reliable when those certain factors are met. I don't think it's based on reading it. It doesn't seem to be an exclusive or exhaustive list of factors, but I think when you look at those factors and then look at this case, you can find it reliable. In Short v. State, a Beaumont case, and these are all cited in the state's brief, Oliva Arita v. State and Talese v. State, all three of those cases were the insurance verification system was found reliable based on the factors of Gonzalez-Galindo. With the testimony of the reliability, with the other courts finding the system reliable, and with the testimony of law enforcement's reliance on the system that Contreras lacked, where Contreras could not find the insurance verification system reliable, the state prays this court affirm the trial court's denial of appellant's motion to suppress.
I have one more quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
Typically, when there's going to be something like this, a method like this, or a DPS system like this that's going to be declared reliable, or even a test that's going to be declared reliable, that's done by the Court of Criminal Appeals. And we don't here have a Court of Criminal Appeals case doing that, do we?
We do. Contreras v. State is a Court of Criminal Appeals case. And like I mentioned, it was the same stop as Gonzalez-Galindo, but Gonzalez-Galindo is out of the Amarillo court.
Contreras is listed in the brief as out of Amarillo. At least in the table of contents.
Oh, I may be mistaken. I have it down as the Court of Criminal Appeals in 2010. I guess I would have to check up on that. I apologize if I've misspoken. But if Contreras is there, we have a Court of Criminal Appeals case. If it's not, we do not have a Court of Criminal Appeals case.
So then my question would be, wouldn't this be something that would be better left to the Court of Criminal Appeals?
Not necessarily. Other courts have ruled on it, but I would say if I misspoke about Contreras v. State, then yes, it would be up to this court to either follow the sister courts or make its own determination, and then it would have to be taken up with the Court of Criminal Appeals for a final answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Tomlin. Mr. Murari. Rebuttal.
I would address the issue one of the date issue we have here. The previous courts, obviously there needs to be something going on if it's unconfirmed. It's either going to be expired in the past, which is what all the cases the states have cited where it's been upheld, or it needs to be in the future. And the state has not provided a single case where in the future, it was upheld. There's not one. And I think that there's a reason for that. It's common sense. We have an expiration date in the future, and this is what's going on. Now, obviously, this system says that more than 45 days ago, plus the 7 days ago, that there was not insurance, and there was a gap, and it did expire, and it wasn't updated at that point. Well, then that starts to make sense. If your insurance, for example, lapsed or expired 3 months ago, and you didn't renew it, and then, well, then we have a 45-day period and a 7-day period, and it's still showing up as expired, well, that makes a lot of sense.
So your position is we don't even need to reach the reliability of the system, even assuming the system is reliable, because there was a future expiration date. In this case, the stop was unreasonable.
Yes, Your Honor. Absolutely. But obviously, both fold. We also argue that it's also not reliable. The only testimony that's reliable is Ms. Putnam saying that twice I've checked it, and you're supposed to, and it wasn't even used properly. Even if it is reliable, it isn't used properly, but they called the carrier and verified that. Their training manual, which this dispatch officer who relayed this information to them, says that this is not reliable. And as you pointed out, there has been no update. There hasn't been anything that says, by the way, now it is reliable. We've had it for this long, and there's nothing been brought forward that says now it is reliable. Nothing has changed since then. And finally, the officer used a lot of conclusory statements that, yes, it is reliable, but he never gave us any true, as we've had it, which need to prove up something in Kelly gatekeeper hearings and similar of, all right, how does the system work and what goes on? How often is it? We have one officer who, in one area, who knows what kind of demographic he's dealing with, says that when I've done it, this is what happens. We don't know how many times he's done it. We don't know what his sample size is. We don't know what generally, you know, I think he uses the word generally or typically. We don't know what typically means. And if something typically works, that's generally not enough to be a reliable system that we can rely upon in criminal matters or in any legal matters, really. We don't say, hey, this just typically works, so that's good enough for that. We don't note that. So if nothing else, they haven't proven that it's a reliable system. We don't have anything controlling this area that says this has been proved, this system has been proven up as reliable, and that using it without calling the insurance carrier to verify, it is, you know, it's robust enough to withstand that as well. It's not, there's nothing certainly that says it's on its own without verifying with insurance carriers that this 45-day plus 7-day system is reliable, or that that system is even good enough for a reasonable suspicion stop. Like I said, with drawing the analogy with a warrant system, which is far more reliable, 3 days was not good enough, and then 20 days was not good enough. But in this case, we have 45 days plus 7 days is what we're looking at. So we're looking at a 52-day window that citizens basically forfeit their Fourth Amendment rights in the streets if they renew their insurance, change carriers, get self-insured, or any other number of things that hasn't gone through. The record simply doesn't substantiate enough evidence, create enough evidence, show enough evidence that this is a reliable system. And we'd also remind the court that it needs to be more than a mere hunch. I think this officer says that this is what typically happens, and he's operating off a mere hunch. You know, a couple times before I pulled people over and an expiration date in the future showed this, but it really, what it comes down to, Justice Walker, and this I think is what you're getting at, is it comes down to a mere hunch. It's, I don't know, and I'm going to stop them, I'm going to find out, but I don't have the articulable facts I need in order to stop someone. So, that, Your Honors, we would pray that this court reverse the trial court's opinion that a just per se unconfirmed insurance is sufficient for either reason, whether it be the reliability or the reasonable suspicion standard. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Thanks to both counsel for all of your briefing in this matter and for arguing in front of us today. Your case is now submitted, and you all are excused. We will now adjourn court.